إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد I was my brothers and sisters, I was watching a video on YouTube on archery, and I am asking Umair to send it to you. This is about a man called Byron Ferguson, who is a he does exhibition shooting archery using a longbow. Now a longbow is the two kinds of bows which I have always been very interested in from a historical perspective. One is the longbow, which is the bow which enabled the British to beat the French in the Hundred Years' War. And the other one is the double curved bow which enabled Genghis Khan to conquer the largest land empire that ever existed under the rule of one man. Later on, the that bow was also adopted by the Ottomans in the early part of the Uthmani Khilafah, and that's how they also succeeded, and that is the double curved bow. So Byron Ferguson shoots this longbow. A longbow is extremely difficult to shoot because it has a draw weight of anything between 70 to 150 pounds, meaning that the person who is shooting that bow, it is like lifting a 70 pound weight at your arm's length, or 150 pound weight at your arm's length. So you have to be extremely strong to do that. Also, unlike a compound bow, in a compound bow which you see in archery competitions, it comes with a telescopic sight and with a back sight and hind sight and a foresight and so on. So it's comparatively, in terms of aiming at the target, it's easier. But longbow is just straightforward bow. It has no sights and no nothing. So for a person to shoot accurately with a longbow is much more difficult because it's a heavy bow. It needs a lot of strength, and it also has no sophistication in terms of technology and gadgetry in it. Yet this man, Byron Ferguson, in that video which you will see, he does a demonstration. He first shoots a wooden disc, and then he shoots a ping pong ball, and then he shoots one of those mints, breath fresheners, the small mints, and then he shoots an aspirin tablet, and he hits all of them. Now that is amazing in itself. But the comment which he made at the end of that, because the guy who's taking the film, he asked him, how is it possible, how do you do that? The aspirin tablet is, obviously the man has good sight as well, but it's so small. He made a phenomenal comment which stuck in my mind, and that's what I want to share it with you. His comment was, he says, always shoot for the center, because the center of a beach ball and the center of an aspirin tablet is exactly the same size. He says the center of a beach ball and the center of an aspirin tablet is exactly the same size. There's no difference. He says the difference is only in what is around the center. He says around the center, what is around the center is immaterial. That's not important. You are shooting for the center. And if you are shooting for the center of a beach ball and the center of an aspirin tablet is the same. And which brings me to the point I want to make, which is that the secret of success in life is focus. And one of my quotes, I've said that focus is the art of ignoring fluff. Focus is the art of ignoring fluff. Now, fluff is all that is not important. So to focus, you have to ignore all which is not important, which means that you must first identify what is important. So where is the center? Now, in a physical thing, center is easy to identify usually. But if you take an irregular shape, the center is also not easy to identify. So where is the center? And second thing is that once you have identified the center, focus on the center and leave everything else. Nothing else matters, only the center matters. Now, focus is a very critical thing because, for example, if you look at light, what's the difference between ordinary light, like the light we have now in the masjid, and laser? What is the difference between ordinary light and laser? The difference is focus. Nothing else. Be an ordinary light. What is the value of that? What is the value of that focus? Ordinary light at best illuminates, but laser cuts through steel. So that is the, and the only difference is focus. I mean, laser is focused light. Now focused light can cut through steel. Ordinary light can't do that. Ordinary light is at best it will illuminate, depending on the the power of it. So the issue of life also is the same, which is the question of focus. Our success depends on this focus. Our happiness depends on this focus. If you take at happiness, for example, we'll come to success in a minute. Anyone in any place, in any situation, no matter how wealthy and free and powerful you might be, or no matter how powerless and so on and so forth you might be, there are always things in your life which are which give you happiness and those things which do not give you happiness. So there are things to focus on, there are things to ignore. Now if you get that right, then you will always be happy no matter what. And this was the secret of the happiness of the Salaf when Rasulullah ﷺ said, Alhamdulillah, yara kulli hal. That's what he means. If you look at his life was hardly free from hardship. His life was had a lot of hardship. But how is it that he was always smiling? How is it that, we don't have in the entire life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not one single word of complaint, not one single word of, whining and moaning and groaning. Because of this, not because there was no reason to complain. I mean, there was plenty of reason. If he wanted to complain, there was plenty of reason to complain. But he did not complain because he chose not to complain. Why did he choose not to complain? Because he focused on those things which gave him pleasure. He didn't focus on the other things were there. It's not as if they disappeared. They don't disappear. But if you don't focus on them, they do not give you that kind of aggravation and so on and so forth. So also with success. Everybody wants success. When I'm teaching my course on on leadership, one of the modules I teach on success, which is, I ask people, I said, if I tell you that I'm going to go and buy a car tomorrow, what will you ask me? So they always say, which car? So I tell them, what do you mean which? I'm telling you I want to buy a car. What do you mean which car? They said, no, how can you just buy a car? What is a car? Is there something called a car in the market? There's no such thing as a car. You go into the market, you say car, what is the first thing anyone will ask you? Which car? There is no such thing as a car. Just as there is no such thing as success. There is success with a name tag. There is some brand name for the success. There is a Bentley, there is a Bugatti, and there is a Ferrari, and there is a Hyundai, and there is a Tata, and so on. Right? There is no car. Now each one of these comes with a price tag. So also with success. There's no such thing as success. So a lot of people go around in the world, I want to be successful. Okay, as a starting statement, that's okay. Headline for your topic which you're going to write. So saying, I want to buy a car is fine. It's not a crime to say that. But unless you say which car, you will never buy a car because every car comes with a different price tag. Now, if you want to, in terms of the car, if you have a Bugatti in your mind or a Lamborghini in your mind and you go there with money to buy a Hyundai, there's no way you're going to get that. It's completely impossible, right? So the issue is, unless you identify the car, the model, you don't know what you need to invest. So also with success, unless you identify what does success mean to me, then only will you do what it takes to become successful. And just like buying a car, all it takes is the amount of money, that's it. You have the money, you buy the car. Nothing else is required. So also with success, all you need to do is identify what does success mean to me and pay for it. And in this case, you're paying not to somebody else, you're paying by investing in yourself. But that is the issue of focus. The focus is to say that if I want success, what do I need to do? Now, in terms of focus, to bring it to relate it back to Islam, we want success, but we sleep at the time of Fajr. We do not pray Salatul Fajr. So, do we want success or we don't want success? I mean, see, it's just a serious matter. As I said, issue is focus. What is the focus? What is the focus of the Muslim? Ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything boils down to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya for what? Allah did not send the Anbiya to teach us better way of agriculture or this is a new business model or that's a new money model or something. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya for one reason and one reason alone, which is to connect the Abd to the Rabb, to connect the person to his Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Every Nabi came for that reason only. No other reason. Every Nabi came for that reason, to connect the person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. So this connection with Allah, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the human beings and jinn for any purpose other than my worship. And the Mufassirin have said that يَعْبُدُونَ is also to be understood in the sense of يَعْرِفُونَ, which is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know and we worship. We don't worship a God that we don't know. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we recognize Him as worthy of worship and we worship Him. So this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without that, success is not possible. It is as simple as that. Find me one single Nabi. Find me one single person from the Salaf. Find me one single Imam, one single, Wali of Allah who did not pray Tahajjud. Find me one single person who did not pray Salatul Fajr in the Masjid. You can't find, not even one single person. Find me anyone. You name the person. Did he pray Tahajjud? It's a given. Now we are talking about Tahajjud. Where is the question of Fajr? Fajr, Tahajjud is a symbol. It's a marker of my connection with Allah. Fajr is a symbol and marker of my remaining in Islam. May Allah protect us. It's not even a connection. Connection with Allah, of course it is. But I'm saying that Salatul Fajr is, it's a boundary condition. We say we want success and we are sleeping at the time of Fajr. We do not pray Salatul Fajr. Now we are coming to Ramadan and I'm sure we are going to have a hear a lot of conversations about, where are you praying Taraweeh and which masjid and what and so on, all of this. Taraweeh is nafil. Alhamdulillah, we should pray Taraweeh. There is nothing to say we should not. Of course, we should pray Taraweeh. Try to get as many hasanat as possible in Ramadan. But end of the day, Taraweeh is nafil. But Fajr is fard. Fard ayn. How do we miss Fajr? So where is the focus? Do you really want success? And I'm not talking about success only in the Akhirah. I'm talking about success for Dunya wal Akhirah. Both. It's not a question of only Akhirah alone. No. Dunya and Akhirah. There is no way that you can be successful in this dunya or the Akhirah if you are not praying Salatul Fajr, and for the men, Salatul Fajr in the Masjid. Now it's understandable if the Masjid is so far away and so difficult to get there and so on. Okay, alhamdulillah, inshallah, Allah has made it easy, so pray at home. But for those for whom this doesn't apply, for those for whom Masajid are close by and it's possible to get to the Masjid, why and how can you not pray Salatul Fajr in the Masjid? And if you are not praying Salatul Fajr in the Masjid, then where is this whole business of, oh, I want to be successful? How is it going to happen? How is it going? If that happens, then there was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the Anbiya. It's as simple as that. And that's why the other day in Jummah, I said, let us look in the mirror and ask ourselves one simple question. Do I believe in Allah? Am I going to die and stand before Allah one day? Get this settled once and for all. There's no need to live in a state of confusion. Let us settle this once and for all. Do I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And am I going to stand before Him on the day of judgment? Because if we can settle this one question, then the rest of life becomes very easy. Because everything else then goes along with this. But until we settle this question, it's all like sitting in a boat in a stormy ship the whole time, half. Either... after Fajr, I'm a good Muslim. At the time of Fajr, I'm not a good Muslim. Allah kareem. Na idhar ke rahe, na udhar ke rahe. Kya hai? Na sanam hi mila. Kya hai wa? I'm Muslim. Something I would say, share is there. Na khuda hi mila, na visale sanam. Na idhar ke rahe, na udhar ke rahe. Wo dhobi ka khada bolta na, ghar ka na ghat ka. To aisa, that is our state. May Allah forgive us. This is our state. Those who don't understand Urdu, forget it, it doesn't matter. The point here is that what we are saying is that if you are going to live in this state of self-created confusion, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified how you will get success, And if you don't do that, then where is the focus? The focus of success on your life, the meter of this is whether you pray tahajjud and whether you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Satisfy yourself, make this clear in your mind. Inshallah, may Allah grant you great success. But if you don't do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created rules. As I always say, Allah created fundamental rules, they apply to everybody. If you are not going to follow the fundamental rule, then we know what's going to happen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help and guidance in allowing us and helping us to focus in our lives. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Why one dua? Guidance to the right path. And Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Whose path? The path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to As-Sirat al-Mustaqim and to the Sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.